be far worse.
As Lucy finally stepped off the bus into the weed-clogged shoulder, Agnes called after her.
"You all have a good weekend now,"
the driver said as cheerily as she could manage.
"See you on Monday."
Lucinda Ritter nodded, but she didn't answer. Once clear of the bus, she stood watching while Mrs. Hooper switched off the flashing lights and ground the bus into gear. It took several moves to maneuver the ungainly bus in the narrow turnaround space that had been bulldozed into the shoulders of the road. All the while, Lucinda Ritter gazed in that direction. Caught by the stiff spring breeze, her hair fanned out around her face in lank brown strands. She squinted her eyes to keep out the dust, but she didn't raise a hand to ward off the flying gravel and grit. Her fingers remained frozen stiffly at her side until the turn was complete and the bus had rumbled back past her, down the road, and out of sight. Only then did she raise her hand in a half-hearted wave. Of all the people at Pierce Elementary and Elfrida High Schools, Mrs. Hooper, the bus driver, was the only person who had ever shown Lucinda Ritter the slightest kindness. Once the bus was gone, Lucy opened the mailbox. She pulled out several pieces of mail and stowed them in her frayed backpack. But while the backpack was open, she removed another envelope. This one, previously opened, was addressed to her in pencil. Sinking to the ground along the rock-strewn shoulder, she raised the flap and fumbled out a scrap of cheap, lined notebook paper. Standing there with the paper flapping in the breeze, she read her mother's note through once again, shaking her head as she did so. "Dear baby, guess what? They're letting me out. Friday of this week. Don't tell Grandma. I have some things I need to do before I come home, and I want to surprise her. I probably won't be there until Sunday afternoon or so. See you then. Love, Mom." The last words swam on the paper, blurred by the tears that filled Lucy's eyes. For years, ever since the morning 8 years earlier when she had awakened to find her father dead and her mother being loaded into a police car, Lucy Ritter had been afraid this would happen. She had prayed that somehow her mother would never return, that she would die in prison. But clearly those prayers had not been answered. Or, if God had answered them, his reply was no. Her mother was coming home, and that would ruin everything. The kids at school had almost forgotten who she was, or why Lucy had come to live there all those years earlier. Once her mother showed up, though, once people caught sight of Sandra Ritter in the post office or the grocery store, everyone would remember, and the ugly torment and teasing would begin anew. Unconsciously, Lucy reached up and touched the solitary charm she wore on a fine silver chain around her thin neck. It was a tiny silver and turquoise replica of the two-pronged gourd called Devil's Claw. Her great-grandmother, Christina Bagwell, had had it made for Lucy by a friend, a silversmith who lived in Gallup, New Mexico. Even though Christina had been dead for nearly 5 years now, just touching the charm, which had been her great-grandmother's last gift to Lucinda, still comforted her, putting her in touch with her great-grandmother's spirit, as well as her wisdom. Lucy had received her mother's disturbing note 3 days earlier, and she hadn't mentioned a word about it to her grandmother, not so much because Sandra Ritter had wanted her daughter to keep her impending arrival secret, but because Lucy herself had not yet decided what to do. Now, on the day of her mother's scheduled release, Lucy made up her mind. Sighing, she refolded the single piece of paper several times, first in half and then into quarters. Finally, when she had folded it as small as she could, she tore it.